Well, good morning. As I reiterated this morning, it's certainly good to be here with you. I'm certainly thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful that Jerry has asked me to fill in for him while he is away. I would encourage you, as I always do when I occupy the pulpit, to pick up the Bible. As we study the text, look to His Word to see what God says. That's what matters. Not my Word, but God's Word. With that being said, I want you to consider for just a moment. From May 30th, 1982, to September 20th, 1998, a span of 16 years plus, a span of 2,632 games, the baseball world saw the epitome of endurance and consistency. The baseball world saw a certain third baseman for the Baltimore Orioles go to work every single day and play every single game. If you're a baseball fan, you know that that third baseman is Cal Ripken Jr. But the Word of God is full of examples of men and women who display that same type of consistency, who display that same type of endurance. I want you to consider for a moment Daniel. Daniel is a great example of this. He was a man of principle. He was a man who refused to compromise. Daniel was a man who was consistent. At a young age, in a foreign land, he refused to eat the meat, the food, of the king, because it could have been unclean or could have been offered as a sacrifice to an idol. Notice Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice of food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Some versions say that Daniel purposed in his heart. As an older man, he refused the gifts of Belshazzar when he offered these gifts to Daniel if he gave him some information. Daniel chapter 5, verse 13. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is the one of the exiles from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? Now I've heard about you, that a spirit of the gods is in you, and that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom have been found in you. Just now the wise men and the conjurers who were brought in before me, that they might read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me, but they could not declare the interpretation of the message. But I personally have heard about you, that you were able to give interpretations and solve difficult problems. Now, if you are able to read the inscription and make its interpretation known to me, you will be clothed with purple and wear a necklace of gold around your neck, and you will have authority as a third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Keep your gifts for yourself, or give your rewards to someone else. However, I will read the inscription to the king and make the interpretation known to him." While under persecution, Daniel refused to obey Darius, but continued to pray as he had done before. That was Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had done previously. You see, the king had made a decree that no one was to pray to God. Daniel knew that. But Daniel continued to do as he had previously done. You see, Daniel stood firm with God. He stood firm with God in the beginning of his life, at the end of his life, and in between. He was faithful. He was dependent. He was noble in his character. He was prayerful in his life. Daniel was consistent. When a crisis came, he was thrown into a den of hungry lions. He did just as he always had done. He prayed to God. He trusted God. Consistency, you see, is a mark of true character. Consistency is the mark of a true Christian. When I think of consistency, I think of words such as practice, continuing, determination, perseverance. I think of a phrase that I have grown to love over the last year and a half or so, keep hammering. Consistency. As Christians, we need to accept nothing less than absolute consistency. We all understand this from a worldly standpoint. Athletes are expected to be consistent in their practice so that they can consistently perform up to the standards of their sport. Bosses expect their employees to consistently come to work and consistently do the job that they agreed to do. On the other hand, employees expect to consistently receive a check every week or every 2 weeks from their bosses. What about the military? The military have to constantly, consistently hone their skills in order to protect themselves and in order to protect our country. We get this. But from a spiritual standpoint, we need to understand this as well. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Peter says to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Peter says to grow. This is a continual process. This implies effort. It requires diligence. It requires study. This implies an ongoing process. I want you to notice what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning of verse 12, the Bible says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance, with the laying on of hands by the presbyter. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." Paul tells Timothy to do what you teach. Be an example in how you act. Be an example in how you talk. Be an example in what you do. Be an example of how you live. He's telling him to be consistent. Don't teach one thing and do the complete opposite. In Acts 14, verses 21 and 22, Paul and some other disciples traveled to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. They were encouraging the disciples to continue in the faith. They were encouraging those disciples to be consistent. The world hopes for consistency, but God expects consistency. We tend to be consistent in the things that are important to us. Sports, hobbies, cell phones, social media, those things may be important to us, so we make it a point to do them. We make it a point to watch them. But every year, come January, people make New Year's resolutions. And those resolutions fail. Why? Because those things just aren't important to those people. They're determined to lose weight. They're determined to exercise more, but they really just don't like those things. It's not a priority to them, so they don't do them, so they stop them. Consistency in God's Word should be a priority to us. We need to understand the necessity of consistency. It is literally life or death. The church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation, they weren't consistent. Why do I say that? Well, you see, they weren't hot or on fire for God, and they weren't cold either. They were somewhere in between. This made God sick. This made the Lord sick. This wasn't acceptable to Him. This tells me that they followed the Lord in some things, but they didn't follow the Lord in all things. They weren't consistent. God was not happy with this. Going back to Daniel for a moment. Daniel was consistent, and he benefited from this. He benefited from his previous walk with God. From his previous consistent walk with God. Again, when he was thrown into that den, he prayed, just like he had always done. He didn't freak out. He didn't all of a sudden go to God for the first time in prayer, stumbling through that prayer. But he did just as he always did. He went to the Creator and petitioned Him. We need to develop that same appetite for consistency. Jesus talked about in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He's telling us to have a spiritual craving for His Word. This requires a heart that loves God. This requires effort. It requires diligence. It requires a change of priorities, which Jesus talks about in Matthew 6, verse 33, when He says to seek first the kingdom of God. Consistency in God, consistency in His Word will lead to maturity. Our spiritual strength and our spiritual maturity is going to be tested, sometimes daily, by trials and temptations of life. James chapter 1 talks about this. Are we consistent in what we are professing? Are we living what we profess? When changes in our outward circumstances arise, does our faith waver like the unsteadiness of the sea? Or are we consistent? In good times and difficult times. James speaks to that in the first chapter, saying that these trials, we should count them a joy. We should be thankful for these trials because they will help us produce endurance. They will help us with our character. As Christians, we have to realize that we're not going to obtain this full maturity. We should never feel like that we have peaked as Christians. We should never feel like that we have got things right where we want them. But we should always be striving for better, for more. That was Philippians chapter 3. This was certainly the case for Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning of verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do know, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. We must never feel like we peaked. We must never feel like this. Paul didn't. Paul said he continued to press on. Continued to strive for that goal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says to imitate me as I imitate Christ. You see, Christ has set the standard. He is the standard. Not the world, not the preacher, not the brethren. But Christ is our standard. And we'll never catch up to Him. He was perfect. You know, immature people think, at least I'm not doing that, as they point to another person. Or at least I'm not like that person over there. A Christian, striving for maturity, thinks to himself, I have a long way to go to catch up to Jesus. A Christian striving for perfection looks to Christ as that ultimate example and thinks, I have a long way to go. That's what John says in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. If we say we abide in Christ, then our conduct needs to be Christ-like. We need to be consistent in that. Not acting like the world acts. Not putting worldly things before God. When we're tempted, the one striving for maturity goes to Scripture just like Jesus did in Matthew 4. When we're persecuted, the one striving for maturity doesn't return evil for evil. 1 Peter 2, verse 23. And when there's someone in need, the one striving for maturity shows compassion, seeks to help. Matthew 14 speaks to this. You see, consistency leads to maturity. And these will result in the influence that God expects of us. Ralph Waldo Emerson said the best efforts of a fine person are felt after we have left their presence. Albert Einstein said, setting an example is not the main means of influencing another. It is the only means. these men understood the importance of influence. All influence can be lost with just one bad mistake. Our influence as Christians is one of the most important things that we possess, especially to those around us, to those outside of Christ. Notice Proverbs chapter 22. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 says, "A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold." What is a good name? A good name is an individual who acts honorably. A good name is an individual who acts in a way worthy of respect. They do not waver. They are not unstable, but they are consistent. Jesus certainly understood the significance of influence. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, he talks about being the salt of the earth. In his book, Invitation to a Spiritual Revolution, Paul Earnhardt writes, "The passion for righteousness must never be compromised, or the disciples' usefulness is at an end. Though salt, in fact, cannot cease to be salty, it can, like the salty powder that forms on the shores of the Dead Sea, become so polluted that it is as useless as road dust." We become as useless as road dust when bad company ruins our morals, when we intermingle with the world, when a little negative leaven affects us, and when we get sidetracked by our own wants and our own desires, we become that useless, salty powder. In verse 14 of chapter 5 in the book of Matthew, Jesus called us to be light also. Both of these point to influence. Christians must be different. We must be in the world, yes, but we don't have to be of the world. We have to put things aside in order to serve God. We have to put God first in our lives. Going back to the book of Philippians, I want you to notice what Paul says to them. In Philippians chapter 2, and at verse 15, he says, "So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain." He says to prove ourselves blameless above reproach in this wicked world, being lights and holding fast to the word of light, to the word of life, holding fast to God's word, consistently holding on to God's word. As we wrap up our lesson, I want us to notice several things that will help us to have a good influence. Number one, we must be uncompromising in the truth. John 17 and verse 17 says, "To sanctify them through thy word is truth." I want you to notice Galatians 2, verse 4. Galatians 2, verse 4, "But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage." Notice verse 5. "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." Paul says we did not yield. We did not compromise. Paul says we were consistent. We must not compromise with God's word. We must be faithful to death, Revelation 2 and at verse 10. Well, secondly, in order to have a good influence, we must avoid offenses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, the Bible talks about causing another one to stumble. Paul tells them at Corinth, don't cause another to stumble. Don't seek your own profit. Don't seek your own desires. Be willing to put what you want aside for someone else, so another person won't stumble. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, he tells them, don't discredit discredit the ministry by your actions. We need to make sure that we're not discrediting God and His Word by our actions. Therefore, we must be consistent in striving to do what His Word says. Thirdly, in order to have a good influence, we must serve others. This boils down to humility, a characteristic that God expects us to have if we want to be pleasing to Him. But it's a characteristic contrary to the world. But that's okay. You see, God wants it, and that's all that should matter. Serving others, putting ourselves aside in order to put someone else before us. We see this in Romans 12 and in verse 10. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, he says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." Fourthly, we need to serve God with fervency. Paul started the fight. Paul finished the fight. In 2 Timothy 4 and at verse 7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." Starting is good. Finishing it is even better. And it is a battle. It's a daily battle with Satan. We need to be consistent in our fight against Satan. And lastly, in order to have a good influence, we must be consistent. Going back to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 2, beginning of verse 21. He says, "You therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples?" Paul's saying, do you teach one thing and do something completely opposite? If so, God isn't pleased. If so, the world notices your inconsistency. Paul says you need to practice what you preach. And this is certainly the same for us. We need to show this type of consistency to the world, to our brethren, to all those that we come into contact with. James chapter 2, verse 18 says, "I'll show you my faith by my actions." Consistency is a key if we want to be acceptable in God's eyes. Maybe you're here this morning and haven't been as consistent as God demands of you. Maybe you haven't been consistent because you aren't following a standard that never changes. We would encourage you to follow the standard that never changes. That is the Word of God. And if you've never obeyed the gospel, God is clear on how to do that. After hearing, you must believe. You must repent of your sins. You must confess Christ. You must be baptized. And you must be consistent in serving God. Faithful. Till Christ returns or until you take your last breath. Maybe you've done those things but have sinned in a manner that is public. Maybe you haven't been as consistent, and those around you know. I want to encourage you to make the corrections this very morning. I would encourage you to make the corrections this very morning as together we stand and we sing.